This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Callum Williams, a member of the economics team, The Economist magazine, and the author of The Classical School, The Birth of Economics in 20 Enlightened Lives. Callum has taken me from the 18th century in 1776 to the 21st century right now. Third wave economics. Practice because, if I understand correctly, we discovered it thanks to the pandemic or because of the pandemic. We didn't see it before. It might have remained on the edges of economic thinking. We have data. Lord, we have data. This iPhone that Callum and I are talking about, it's gathering data all the time. And you can put these out as a narrative to tell policymakers which way to go. But there are three kinds of economists now practicing third wave. We're going to deal with them separately because you can choose. We'll start with the first kind of third wave economist, the lone wolf. What does that look like, Callum?
Well, in a way, the lone wolf, but let's define what the lone wolf is first. This is really someone who works predominantly by themselves or maybe with a small number of co-authors. But in a way, the lone wolf is closest to the second or even first wave of economics. These are people who tend to write sort of more theoretical papers or who tend to do more kind of just general commentary about the economy. So this is the kind of, in a sense, I don't want to say least sophisticated, but least novel form of economist in this new wave. And what you see actually kind of interestingly is during the past 18 months, if you analyze both papers and citations of those papers, lone wolves have actually done worst of the three groups. So they have been, have had the fewest citations of their work of the three groups. So that's lone wolf.
Let's go to collaborators. I know what that means, but how big a group?
A big group. And the idea here is that these are people who rarely write papers by themselves. Instead, they tend to have a wide, fluid, dynamic team of co-authors. So they might write one paper with Mr. X, and then the next week write another paper with Mrs. Y. And often you have, you know, a paper that has perhaps four or five co-authors, a kind of a rapidly shifting team. Now, these people have done very, very well, the best of the three groups under COVID. The sort of analysis that these people tend to do is to... So for instance, there are some people who launch very rapid-fire surveys of the economy, monthly surveys that ask people things like, are you working from home currently? Do you want to continue working from home once the threat of COVID has passed? And what does your boss think about that? Now, these are things, this is information which is can be published very rapidly and is of great use both to businesses and governments, and of course to other researchers. So for example, we now know it's October. We've known for a few weeks now that as late as sort of September, exactly what businesses are thinking about working from home. Now that's a lag of a month, which is pretty amazing. So they're the second group, kind of people who are drawing on others' expertise constantly.
And the third wave, labs. I like this idea, having a lab for data sets. Are those fresh? You note that Jamie Dimon has a lab at for his enterprise.
Yes. So what you had in the years before the pandemic is that you had more publication of incredibly large and very detailed data sets about various aspects of the economy. So for instance, the JP Morgan Institute, they are able to analyze various kind of spending and income data from their network of Chase accounts. You also have very, very detailed and anonymized tax records, for instance, from the IRS. You also have movements from people's cell phones, again, anonymized. These are like massive data sets. What you need in order to analyze those is a lot of computing power and a lot of people to try to understand the data, to clean it, and to sort of reformat it into a state where it can be analyzed. So as you say, what you've had in recent years is the growth of these, what we're calling in the piece, industrial labs, which is where you have, one or two or three kind of big name economists who run a lab that is filled with sometimes dozens of usually young post undergraduate economists who are trying to get experience, whose role in that lab is to be a part of that machine in cleaning and presenting and analyzing that data. Now, during the pandemic, the citations data suggest that industrial labs have done quite well. Their citations have grown quite considerably, but they haven't grown by as much as the citations for the collaborators that we were talking about just a moment ago. And the reason we think this might be the case is that when you're an industrial lab, you're trying to coordinate a large number of people. And so you're perhaps not incredibly nimble. If some new question arises, it takes you quite a long time to sort of change all the internal processes in order to analyze that question. Whereas if you're a collaborator working with maybe two or three other people, it's quite easy to sort of change direction and you know, address a question that's much more relevant and timely. So that's what's been going on over the past year or so.
Let's quickly give one good example of how the data gathering works. Open Table, which is an app that allows you to book restaurants and before the pandemic, extremely popular. Open Table, you say, gave information that was possible for the national policymakers to interpret that restaurants were very hard hit, and that led directly to aid to restaurants to keep them open during and after the pandemic. Is that an industrial lab result? We have about a minute, Caleb.
Well, so that data didn't require very complex analysis, because OpenTable presented it to people in a very kind of easy to understand format. So that's not an example of an industrial lab, but certainly industrial labs have been good at showing, for example, that the income losses experienced by poor people were larger during the pandemic. So they certainly have had their uses.
And those uses are accelerating. Would you measure here in our final remarks about third wave that the industrial labs are accelerating, or are they still a work in progress, Caleb?
They're still a work in progress. It often depends really on whether organizations that collect data are willing to release it to researchers. So a lot of these people spend a lot of time trying to persuade organizations such as the IRS to release data. So I think the only trajectory for these people is up.
Caleb Williams. He is the Economist magazine member of the economics team. The book is The Classical School, The Birth of Economics in 20 Enlightened Lives. The third wave is upon us. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first.